I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the ESE Podcast, back at it again with more Best of the Super Juniors 2025 coverage. We got the finals. We got the final four nights of tournament action being broke down for you here. And I believe that's how this is going to work. We're just going to jump straight into it, Charlie. We're going to go through nights 9 to 12, and then we're going to talk about the finals. I'll just say now, we do know who the finals are. We know Kosei Fujita is our fucking winner for the year, so we are so excited to talk about that when we get there. But we will talk about that match, because I think for me that's probably the match of the tournament. So we'll definitely spend some time on that match when we get to it. So, and if we do end up taking a little bit of that time away from the other matches, that's just because the finals are so worth talking about. We want to make sure that gets its time on this show, you know. And it's not like we can't extend the show. I don't know that the finals of the New Japan needs to be 2 hours long, so we'll try and keep you from having to be here for the next year to listen to this. So, you know, but we are going to give what we deserve, what we think deserves time, of course, you know. And with that being said, Charlie, I mean, just, I guess this is actually an interesting opportunity. I didn't think about asking you this, but I am thinking of it now. So what did you think of just the tournament as a whole before we get into the last nights?
I believe this ended up being a very good, like a very big success for New Japan. I think they had, and this is a fucking big deal, they had to have a good winner, and they had to have them earn it. And I think they set themselves up for the finals where both of them would have been good winners, whether it was they both gave them meaning for it, they gave fun stories for it, and both sides of the coin. You're either the youngest winner ever, or you're someone who's fucking been searching for it and seeking it out. So,
searching, seek, and destroy.
To put themselves in that position was a very big task, and they nailed it. And they did it. They did so by respecting everyone in the game. There was no one disrespected in this tournament. Not at all.
Except maybe Ninja Mac.
But he got his moments.
Correct.
Who's the one that was probably the most viral from this entire thing? It was him.
I
think they absolutely fucking nailed this,
and yeah, I would agree with everything you just said.
I guess
with that being said, I guess we'll just fucking hop right into it. We'll get into night nine, which is my night to talk about. And night nine started off pretty fun. We had Mr. Clark Connors 100 proof taking on Ninja Mac, who I just mentioned. And I took down in my notes, so on the last review that I did of this, I noted that Clark looked a little stiff when he was wrestling one of his last matches recently. I don't remember which night it was on. But, and I was like, I hope he's okay. This tournament can be rough, you know? He was probably just selling, but, you know, it's good to know that he's okay either way, you know? There was a really good counter in this one that was like a shoulder block. He was hitting it, so I believe Ninja Mac went to hit a moonsault off the ropes or something like that, or something along those lines, and Clark just shoulder blocked him out of the air. It just looked brutal.
Yeah.
So this was important for Ninja Mac. This is when he was on the verge of elimination here. He still had a shot, technically, if he goes undefeated, I guess, of maybe making it on some bullshit. He made a comment about how Wheel Son has been causing Clark travel issues within Japan, which I thought was pretty fucking funny. Just imagining this guy walking through Japanese customs with fucking, you know, trying to get through fucking checkpoints with a giant fucking tire, you know, it sounds so funny to me. But this was a really fucking crazy match, because at one point Ninja Mac pulled out the fucking throwing stars and started chucking them at Clark like he's an actual fucking ninja or something. And then I thought that was gonna be the craziest thing, because then Wheel Song gets introduced, because, you know, I mean, I could block a throwing star with, I guess, a fucking, essentially a Captain America shield, you know, like. And he does that, and then he brings out the fucking nunchucks. This man is going insane. He's like, I'm going to start cheating. Fuck it. We ball. I'm already losing. I might as well pull out the nunchucks, you know?
Yeah.
He hit what I described as a discus wheel buster on him. So he spun the wheel around and hit him with it. And that was a fucking crazy sell by Ninja Mac. And then he hit him with a doom. I'm going to call it doom style gore, because it caused the doom of the man that received it. And hit him with a no chaser. Ninja Mac eliminated. Wasn't expecting him to win this. And I think the thing that popped me the most out of this was there was a person in the crowd that had a sign for Wheelson, so it's getting over, you know?
It's doing the damn thing.
I gave this a 3.5. I thought, you know, it was solid. I didn't think it was like anything special, but I didn't think it was like below average or anything. I mean, you know, we don't get gimmick matches like this, like, you know, in this tournament. So whenever we get a few, like, you know, silliness, like with this, with the wheel and the nunchucks and the ninja stars and Walker almost getting his head taken off by a ninja star. Can you imagine if Walker had to do the rest of this tournament with an eye patch? It'd be fucking hilarious.
If he was a fucking real worker, he would.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
I caught one of Ninja Mac stars in the eye.
I love the ninja star spot. The spirit of the flip was really good, and I gave it a 2.75. So fun, just fun little comedy gimmick.
Yeah. All right, we had a show versus Titan in the B block. That first match was in the A block, just in case anyone was wondering. He attacked him backstage before the bell. Titan's still like an absolute freak. But apparently, and this is something they noted in this, and I love when they bring this stuff up in the tournament, Charlie, he was apparently against Show previously. He's 0-2. So Titan, yeah, not able to beat Show. The shenanigans are a little bit too much for him. The lights went out at one point. Show used that to get an advantage. Eventually we got Yujiro Takahashi involved, a chair shot to the gonads, and he picked up the win with the power breaker. Show staving off elimination here. I gave this a 2.25. I really just,
yeah,
Titan's momentum completely gets halted here, in my opinion.
Yeah, you knew Titan was losing the tournament for sure when he lost this. So
yep.
I gave it a 2. Yeah, not yeah, my just, you know, absolute house of torture, you know, horseshit.
2.5 came from the power breaker. He's a great finisher.
Yeah. Look, I think Titan, Show has been getting good wins. I mean, his wins are over fucking talented wrestlers, but so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone owes Show money in the back, and that's how he keeps all this stuff
going.
Who
did he end up beating in total? Yo, Robbie Eagles, Titan, and then Ichimori, right?
That sounds right.
Like, good fucking wrestlers. So, great tournament, but the matches just always were fucking whatever.
I know. I've never watched a Show match and been like, there's been one or two Show matches I've watched and been like, holy shit, this guy's going. It's not his thing. It's almost like it's a heel Randy Orton. No offense to people that love Randy Orton, but like when Randy Orton's working heel, sometimes, especially as he got older, you know, sometimes it's not as much work rate, you know what I mean? So, you know, like I wonder if it's just that thing because he's working heel, lower work rate because he doesn't want to pop the crowd. I don't know. Like, it's tough because I imagine if you're one of the top like potential wrestlers in the world where like, I'm sure this guy can go. We've seen it. I'm sure he's capable. You wouldn't be in this tournament if you couldn't, right? Realistically.
Yeah.
It's just not the role they're asking him to be in right now, which sucks for him. But, you know, I mean, it probably doesn't suck for him. He probably loves it, you know? Gets paid to have people win matches for him, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know. Not the greatest. Robbie X took on Francesco Akira in the A block, Charlie. This one really got there, I feel like. They started out with some really heavy strikes. They were pushing that pace. They had high spots going on all over the place. And the crowd was really getting fired up for this one whenever they were getting fired up. This was like a fighting spirit type match. Every time someone would like hit a move or pop up from a move and then start going nuts, they're like, yeah! The fucking crowd started going crazy. This was awesome. I'm curious, do you actually know, I don't know if you have like match times accessible easily. I'm curious how long this one went because it felt like it actually got time.
9:03.
Dude, what? Akira is becoming the master of the sprint, I think. Like, because I think this is the second time he's had like a 10 minute or sub 10 minute match. And it felt like it actually got time because they were able to pack all of it in there. Does that imply jam packed then? Maybe, but in a good way almost. There was this crazy sell on the Meteora, dude. Oh my god. There's a Pele kick that looked like it killed somebody. And he locked in the ground Tarantula, picking up a massive fucking win. Just fucking great stuff here. And I ended up giving the actual match 3.75 out of 5. I'll talk about what happened after the match, after you tell me what you gave it in your rating, what you thought of the actual match, Charlie. And then we can talk about what happened after.
I gave it a 3.25. I thought it was really solid. Yeah, I mean, like, just good chemistry together. Good performance here. They just had the undercard of the night. You know, it's just kind of the unfortunate thing. They're just placed on the undercard of the night. So, yeah.
We got a little bit of sauce on this segment, though. We had Clark coming out and attacking Akira, reigniting their rivalry. So, and that really helped to feed up the rest of this tournament and how it went. And I just, you know, for those two, and I really enjoyed that, you know. Just Clark, so good as a fucking heel, you know, so great. Was there anything else you wanted to add about that? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just thought it was solid. Very, yeah. Very solid match. And I've liked Robbie X's tournament, and I think Akira is definitely improved his stock in the tournament. And we got to watch that match that he had to Despy before it, that they constantly met, that they reference.
Yeah.
Apparently that match must have kicked ass.
It must have. Yeah, apparently. But hey, we'll have to see. Mao took on Robbie Eagles in the B block. The Lego Square Man. No selling is so fucking hilarious, bro. I'm sorry. Every time he fires up in Lego mode, it pops me.
Mr. Fantastic in Rivals.
Yes, dude. Oh my God. That's perfect, actually. Literally. Oh my God. It's so perfect. Robbie had some really good kicks in this match, too. I also think this is the most we saw Mao in his bag in this whole tournament, I think, was in like maybe this match, because I think he did really good stuff in other matches. I just think he was doing a lot of the same things. And it just was like, sometimes people will do that. They'll have their classic moveset that they do in every match. And then when you get into like a 5-star banger or something like that, then you pull out everything. And maybe that's where they were trying to get there with this. And maybe they just didn't have the time, or maybe it just didn't land for me in that way. I did really like the match. Weirdly, don't have a rating written down for this, so I'll just.
I gave it a 3.5. Thought it was really solid. So
yeah, I think I'd probably
better than good. 7.5. In other words,
yeah,
I think a great finish too.
I don't know how I did. I must have just deleted it by accident. I'll just give it a 3.75. That feels pretty good for what I was saying here. But yeah, what else did I want to talk about here? Oh yeah, so I actually he got kind of technical with it. Is the reason why I brought that up. He was like, you know, he was using up like the classic ref as the distraction to set up his, like, I call it the Mal cutter. I don't know what else to call it. His little cutter or whatever. I'm sure it's got a name. And when he hit that cutter, I was like, oh, smoke's up. And then Robbie was trying to catch him with he was trying to catch the counter on the top rope. And I don't know what the avalanche move was. I don't know that they do either. Robbie just fucking flipped off the top into death, you know, like, what is
so
what
good?
Would you call that move? The Mao's devastation or something like that, you know, the devastation slam. I don't know. The ultimate attitude adjustment. I don't fucking know, but it's really cool. Like I said, I gave it a 3.5 to 3.75 is what I would range. I would put it in. Dragon Daya took on Kosei Fujita, Charlie. Woo-hoo! This one was fucking hot. All right. Mm-hmm. It opened up with some repeated chops over and over, and they sounded like fucking gunshots, Charlie. They were killing each other. Sorry. This one got fucking nutty with it. This is one of those matches where Kosei showed off his technical wrestling ability, and just I feel like he's the heir apparent to fucking Zach in this group. If anyone's going to be the next technical wrestler to dominate Japan, it's got to be this kid. How great is that for him too? He's capable of having like a Young Bucks or Kenny Omega style like athletic fucking flip fest, and he's capable of being Zach at the same time. He is like the fucking hybrid athlete wrestling has been waiting for. It's kind of insane, you know? And you know what? You know who else is kind of a little bit like that, who can kind of do both a little bit, is kind of Will. And he's the one, and that's the legacy he kind of knocked off at the end of this tournament. So, like, because, you know, who was the youngest tournament winner before him? It was Will, you know? So, there might be more parallels between him and Will than I even realize, except that he's just even more technical than Will has ever been, you know? Like, which, fuck, man. I can't even quantify for people how insane that is and how young he is too, you know, like that's so 22. Much energy. There was a really ridiculous counter by Fujita that set up the win. I didn't write down exactly what it was. I apologize, everybody. I ended up giving this a 4 out of 5. This is one of those ones where I just fucking locked into the match and I didn't write a lot down because I was so fucking invested in what was going on here. I think Kosei's run in this tournament might be my favorite tournament run in wrestling of all time. That's crazy because we just had the Hangman Adam Page tournament run, you know? But I think it actually might be Kosei, dude. This is so, it was so incredible to watch this unfold, you know, like, I can't believe it. What did you think of this, Charlie? I've been kind of just talking.
Yeah, I thought Dia played a good baby face here. He was able to be the baby face. Thought that was nice. His chops also looked really good. You know, he was able to hang in there with Fujita's chops. Right? So, look, Fujita, Francesco Akira, they deserve their credit. These guys are going out there and putting on, they're giving it their all every single night. And there's other guys I don't think we can say that for. But Fujita, and that's, I think, why you're resonating so much with this tournament run. Every single match, he's fighting it like it's his last match. So, really solid stuff here. I gave it a 3.5. Like, again, I really like this. And Dragon, you know, I've been a little more disappointed in him in this tournament. He was someone I was really hoping to walk away from and be, like, super excited for. I also don't think he got there. But this was my favorite match of his. So, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we had Kevin Knight, the Jet 2 Fly, taking on Taiji Ishimori, the Bone Soldier in the B block.
The Bone Soldier.
And, Charlie, we have a term for this on our podcast. We like to call this grounding the high flyer.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what they did here. But they did some good selling in this one. I like the use of the ropes to break up a pin. I haven't seen that a lot in this tournament. We probably saw it more than I realized. But, you know, I liked it. Kevin is a little inexperienced, and Ishimori is like, you know, fuck it. I don't need to kick out of this. I'll just use the rope, you know? But yeah, so just, you know, knowledge of the ring, experience, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, which, you know, that's basically what the whole point of this match was, I would say. You know, he had his, you know, moon shoes on, that being Kevin. He got a UFO splash countered into a bone lock, and that was pretty much it. GG's. I gave it a 3-2-5. I thought it could have been worse. Sucks that this was pretty much the GG's for Kevin in this tournament, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably already done after those first three consecutive losses, but I, you know, or was it two, and then he won one, and then whatever, like, it didn't look good for him at the beginning. He came back, won like a couple in a row, and, you know, you run into Ishimori late in this tournament, it's kind of a buzzsaw sometimes, it's tough, but that's just the reality. He's going to have to be a contender toward the end. You know, you want him to be one of your last three or four guys that are left in contention, you think, right? Probably in the last couple weeks, or in the last week or so, you know?
Yeah.
You want your big guys to still have a chance, you know, you're booking it, but you know what I'm saying? You want it to look like they could theoretically do something, you know?
I gave this one 3.5. Again, okay. We got a shout out Ishimori's, you know, his working the arm, working the limbs, like that's, he just did it great. And I thought Kevin sold that really great. And I ended up just really buying into what that, you know, their chemistry together and leading to a really fun finish. So yeah, you know, we knew Kevin was done here, but this kind of match, I think this is where Ishimori does excel now. And I think he did well with it against Kevin here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. Oh, the next match, Charlie. All right. Kanemaru versus Takahashi on paper sounds so good, you know? It just sounds like, oh my god, these guys are just gonna fucking show all these kids what the fuck's up, you know? Like,
yep.
That is not what happened. So right off the rip, we had Sho and Yujiro, pretty much. I thought the match was pretty much over right there. But then, after we got some go-away chants from the crowd, which popped me, they were telling him to fuck off. And I also run my nose. I'm kind of like tuning out the House Torture shit at this point, man. Like, I don't care.
It's really, like, at the beginning of the tournament, I'm always like, oh, House of Torture, you know, fun stuff. Japan, mm-hmm. Love it. We get to this point, and I'm like, fuck. It's every time. Let's just have them have a match.
Attacking the leg. A lot of figure four. And somehow Hiromu wins this match?
Yeah, that was whatever. Yeah.
Like, what? 2 out of 5. Didn't love
it. 2 out of 5. Yep, right on the money. Yeah. I got nothing else to add.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did the damage to his leg?
I do think giving these guys non-shenanigans, they could make it work.
Oh, yes.
Kind of all I got to add. Yeah.
Did they even play up the leg later in the tournament? I'm not even sure. Like,
I don't remember.
If they did, I didn't notice it. All right. We had Nick Wayne take on Yo. in the B block. And yeah, I'm correct about that. In the B block, the last match was A block. Yeah, anyway. And, you know, I was just writing in my notes at this point. I was like, I really hope that AEW kind of picks up the story no matter what happened, because I didn't know what was going to happen with Nick at this point in the tournament. I'm like, I just want them to carry this momentum, because the way he looked in this tournament, I mean, I can't describe it to people that haven't really watched Nick on AEW for the last couple of years. He is so much more shining as a star than he ever has been on AEW. Like, he's had some moments in AEW, but he's never really been given this much as he was in this tournament, I feel like, and on as consistent of a basis. So, you know, he's always been overshadowed by other things that he was involved with, I feel like. And this is the first time I've really been able to see Nick Wayne do Nick Wayne things. So, and I'm incredibly impressed with it. I thought he was magnificent in this whole tournament, and I hope they carry that over. This is a pretty competitive match. Yo ended up being able to lock in the Intercontinental Vice. I give this like a 3.5 out of 5. Again, kind of sad realizing this is probably the end for Nick in the tournament, you know? Yeah. You know, maybe next year, possibly. But he's going to have a...
Look, I like that Nick is also, you can feel it, he's crumbling.
Oh, you know, he took too much damage across
the tournament. He's disappointed in himself, and you can feel that.
Oh, yeah.
A really good finish here with Yo and the Vice. Like, yeah, I really like that. So, yeah, I gave it a 3-2, 3-2-5.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Kushida took on Master Wato. Great match here. Fucking, they opened up with a clean break. Fucking Kushida started hitting some goddamn Winter Soldier stomps again. Anyway, and
more accurate right there.
Yes. And it's a very technically sound match. Wato was kicking the shit out of him. He was also selling like a madman, you know. Wato just trying to find a way to beat this wily veteran here. Getting caught in a hoverboard lock. Attempted to power out. Escaped it, hit him with a tornado kick. Crucifix driver, or whatever the hell the move is called that he does. It's probably not that move, but slightly different. And then he picks up the win, Charlie, with a towering German suplex. Which I think is what the name of the move is based on. It's like some tower in the region of Japan he's from, maybe, or something like that. Or maybe the regions of Japan that they tour in or something like that. Either way, the point is, he has a gigantic German suplex. Because I forget every now and then, Wato is pretty tall for a junior, you know? Like,
yeah.
So he does, you know, to compare his suplex to, like, you know, a observation point in Japan, you know, that's really tall, checks out, you know. I love it. I put this another 4 for me. I really dug this match. I feel like Kushida has been reborn in this tournament, Charlie. It's incredible to see, you know.
Yeah, Kushida's doing his stuff. I give this a 3.5. Really surprised at Wato winning, actually. That was my main note here. I just thought he's had a weird tournament, and at this point he's got 10 points. I was really shocked by that when I was doing the numbers here.
Yeah, looking at it from full context, they needed this to be so that Kushida wouldn't have too many wins going into the last night, see what I mean? So that they could open up the block to be won by who it was going to be won by, so, you know.
But, like, yeah, I agree. Kushida's been my biggest surprise of the tournament, for sure. And really great finishing sequence again. And more great arm work out of Kushida. So there was a spot with the heel hook where Wato took the heel hook and immediately got kicked in the arm. Like, it really, really good stuff. So,
absolutely. All right. The main event of Night 9. So the last of the 10 match card main events for me to review in this tournament. We had Desperado versus Ryusuke Taguchi, and main event Despy here, you know. Something I noted about this, I don't remember which night Robbie was on commentary for, but he pointed out that he didn't have a fucking main event this entire tour.
Wow.
Wild to think about, but hey, here we are.
that does matter, though.
No, it does. He never got the main event. Why we
point out
match.
When it's main event, yo, and shit like that? Like, it does matter.
It does. You get to show off more. You get more time. You're
in the G1. Yes. It's always important to shout out who got the main event of that night.
Yep, 100%.
That's so. Where they see you on the hierarchy.
100%. So, yeah. So, you know, expected some main event Despy here. Both were coming into this 3-3. So both desperately needed a win here. And I gotta hand it to Taguchi, man. This hasn't been like funny, haha guy Taguchi. This tournament has been serious Taguchi for the most part. Yes, there's some jokes.
Especially in the main events. In the undercard, he's always the jokey guy, but not in the main events.
100%. And so, you know, like I love that we're seeing that from this, you know? And the crowd was responding to that too, because they love him, you know? I mean, they were working the leg, locked in numero dos. And Despy here, just not going quietly into that night, Charlie. I give this 3.5 out of 5. Despy staying alive in the tournament. Did not want his destiny to be decided by somebody else, but ultimately, I don't think that's going to be how it works out for him. But he at least didn't go down without fighting, you know? So
100%.
Yeah. What do you think of this one?
Yeah. Great limb work by Despy again on Taguchi's leg. I thought it really tailed the match. You know, the funky weapon was more of, it was locked in his chamber for a bit there. So, you know, it's fairly solid main event.
The funky weapon might have been disarmed.
Yeah. Good technical wrestling out of the guys. I gave it a 3.75. I thought this was, again, Despy's getting his main events, and even if he comes out on top, he makes everyone else around him still look good. So you have to appreciate that with Despy. Okay, jump in the night 10, where we open up with Robbie Eagles defeating Ryusuke Taguchi.
Damn, Taguchi bookend, Jesus.
Yeah, bookend Taguchi here in the opening contest. Taguchi targeted Eagles' ankle for pretty much most of the bout, and Taguchi was favoring his knee. They both went down selling their injuries near the end, but Eagles recovered and hit the Hyperion for the win. So, this put Taguchi a little lower. I gave it a 2.5.
Yeah, I give this a 2. I really didn't love it, but there were some funny spots in it. There was an anti-air funky weapon that was pretty funny, and then Robbie belly danced.
He
tried to do a funky weapon himself, and it was like, no. Only I
can
do that. That's my buddy.
We had Kushida and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, where Kushida avoided an attempted whiskey spray from Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Punched him in the face, rolled him up for a 3 count. So this loss put Kanemaru out of contention and kept Kushida alive. Not much here. I gave it a 1.75. There really wasn't a match. It was really short.
Yeah, I wasn't as harsh as you. I thought it was fine. So I gave it a very average rating. I gave it like a 2. So, you know, like,
yeah,
I didn't think it was like so bad that it was like below the other crappy matches, you know, like I just thought,
just nothing here. Yeah.
Still better than the house.
I thought it was funny. He dodged the whiskey, but that was about it.
Yeah.
So we have Yo versus Titan, where Yo became the first person in his group to reach 10 points.
Yep.
He defeats Titan with a direct drive in the second match of the B block. Short match, fun pace. And Yo just, like I said, this is the undercard. We could have a whole dissertation about why I don't like the idea that they treat these like the undercards, because these first three matches were absolutely fucking pillaged because of it. They're all like sub 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I thought Yo picked up the win here. Again, Titan, we knew he was losing after night 9. We just mentioned it too, like 20 minutes ago. Like, once he lost that match, it was GG's for Titan. So for him to lose here, it made sense. And I was really heavily rooting for Yo in this match. So
100%. Yeah, it was at this point when we already kind of picked up on like what Yo's like story in this tournament was. And like they were doing a job telling it. So I think other than...
I don't know if it's in my grade. I gave it a 2 just because I was really pissed at the time.
What did I give this? I gave it like a 3.
Yeah. I was like, you could feel it. You could fucking feel the undercardness of it. And I think that's why nights 11 and 12, it worked in its favor. So,
okay.
We have Dragon Daya defeating Robbie X with a Reptilian Rana in this one. This kept his hopes alive in the tournament. This was one of the matches where, and I think the rest of a lot of matches going forward benefited from this. You could feel the threat of elimination. Very spot heavy. Worked for me. Favorite Dragon Daya match in this tournament. I gave it a 3.5.
I just gave this. I think I was just like, it's funny. I was looking at this. I was like, I had like a couple matches in a row that were just like 3-3, you know? So I think
yeah,
I could just
average,
you know,
run of the mill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other? Yeah, it's not much there. Yeah. The Reptilian Rana was cool.
Yeah, it's a cool move. Yeah, I just. No, I didn't really write.
There was nothing
that was interesting. Despite what their records were coming into this, this match I felt like could have gone either way.
Yeah, and you could really feel like that's what I was saying. You could feel the threat of elimination between these
two. Yes, 100%. Like I could see either one of them progressing further in this tournament, and maybe not that much further, but certainly, obviously, further than the other person. So you know,
this was a big one here.
Ooh,
Mao defeated Nick Wayne.
The ultimate GGs for Nick.
Yeah, he gets the 10 points. Mao hit his own version of the Wayne's World, followed by his crossface submission for the win. Very fast paced. Nick pulled off some great counters. There was a really fun counter to Mao's leapfrog. The two friends shook hands, and Mao raised his arm after the bout. Yeah. Again, unbelievably short. I gave it a 3.5, though, because it worked for me. But again, you could feel Nick was upset at the loss, but he also was happy for his friend. And I thought Mao getting to 10 points here was awesome. And the B block, of course. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really
that leapfrog spot was great.
Oh yeah. It was comedy. yeah. You know, I wrote at the beginning of this, like, this huge for Nick's tournament, you know, it wasn't like for sure GG's in the last match, but like, it felt like now that he's lost a match, you know, or a couple matches, like he kind of needs these wins. He needs them now. And so this was like essential. And, yeah, you know, Mao was talking about how it's cool to be square, you know? I guess that's one of the things he was chanting. This guy just has all this energy. Apparently they have history outside of New Japan, Charlie. I'm assuming that means Nick went to DDT.
Yes, in DDT or in Defy, I think, too. They mentioned something like that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's some crossover there. That would make sense, you know? Obviously, yeah. Nick's been wrestling a lot longer than a lot of people probably realize, you know? But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, they some good head-to-head, you know, fire-up fighting spirit here. I really did dig that toward the end of this tournament, it started to become more about that and less about the moves and the technicality sometimes for some of these matches. It just became about who's got the actual willpower to survive these matches, you know? And yeah, I give this a 3.75. I really like the little respect spot at the end. Wayne's World got countered into what I called, it's not the Wayne's World, it's not the Mao's World, it's Mao's Universe, Charlie. And then he locked him in that submission, like you said. So, you know,
I could buy into that. Next match, Ninja Mac had already been eliminated going into the match against Kosei Fujita. And I think most people would agree. Ninja's been very entertaining, but there were no ninja stars and nunchucks in this match. He picked up the win with a ninja bomb from the top rope.
I got scared for our boy. I'm not going to lie. I was like, you're losing to who?
Yeah, no, I actually thought it was over. I was doing the numbers in my head and I thought it was over. Very glad that was not the case in the A block. But because, I mean, we'll get towards the end of the night, but like Akira and all these other guys already had 10 points. Or like we're on the verge of 10 points, and I was like, oh no, is he out? Is he done? Yeah. I don't know. Look, there's going to be some people that are like, it's weird that Ninja's finally trying, even though he's eliminated, but it's a pride thing. So he went out there and beat the fucking kid that won the thing. So good on him.
But I also would say, like, I'm assuming you don't just not get paid for the matches in this tournament. You still get your fucking, you know, wrestling pay if you're the right in kayfabe. If you you still get your loser's purse, right? You know, like, even
dude,
if you
get told you're beating the fucking guy that's winning this thing,
yeah, dude,
are you kidding me?
I'm getting put over.
Talk about getting fucking resume, getting shit added to your resume.
Yeah, beat him
that's
in the
New
tournament.
Japan putting a little something beat something
him.
In it too.
Yes, you know what? That could be one of the matches they run back easily just if they won a television title match or something. I don't know if they do that, but like, because like, yeah. You'd be like,
your house show,
beat
just
you
a house
in the
show
tournament
fucking
you won
main event, yeah.
As the youngest winner ever. I beat you in that tournament. I was one of the only people that did, you know, like that's, there's, you can do something with that, you know? So, yeah.
Go ahead. I give this a 3 on the dot.
Okay. I gave it a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
Apparently, Max is an amateur guy. I had no idea.
You had what?
Apparently, Max is an amateur guy, they mentioned. That's why he was able to get technical with it. So,
oh,
you know.
Cool. That was a nice touch. Taiji Ishimori could not overcome the House of Torture as Sho picked up a victory here when Sonata interfered, gave Ishimori a deadfall landing, and Sho ended up winning. I gave it a 1. I was sick of it.
I gave it a 2. I don't think I gave much a 1 this, because I was just enjoying the tournament enough, you know?
I was over it. I was beyond over fucking Sho at this point. They gave this time, too, which is probably the thing that was the most disrespectful.
What I couldn't believe is that Sho was somehow still alive in this tournament at this point.
Yeah. He could have fucking won. All right. Clark Connors, Francesco Akira.
Here we go.
Has been using weapons all tournament. There's a ref bump in this match against Akira. He brought out Mr. Wheel and a table. Super intense match from the jump. Akira answered back, however, hit Connors with a chair. Akira loses his mind after seeing his own blood and proceeds to beat Clark until he gets DQ'd and beyond. There was a second referee running, called the match for the rare disqualification. Clark Connors goes up to 10 points. Fucking metal. When Akira starts seeing his own blood and it like triggers a fucking immune response to just go beat the fuck out of that guy all day. All day. I love that shit. The post-match, the match itself does not deserve the grade I'm giving it, but the post-match adds to it. It's all the same fucking thing. I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I ended up giving this a 3.75, but I will tell you this. This is what the first thing I wrote in my notes, because as soon as they fucking locked eyes, as soon as fucking Clark got to the top of the ramp, they just fucking went. And it was like, I wrote, the history here jumps off the page. I didn't need to know these guys were ever rivals before. I didn't know, but you know what? I learned throughout the course of this. This taught me how much these guys fucking hate each other. And I'll be honest with you, this makes so much sense because they had that bloody fucking war inside the cage, you know what I mean? So it makes complete sense that these guys are going to hate each other for eternity. They literally went as far. AEW doesn't really do that, unfortunately.
Someone was retired in that match.
Literally. It changed the face of New Japan.
Retired.
Yes. Yes. Literally. So crazy stuff throughout this match, hard hitting, personal stuff, a lot of like, and there was a lot of the tournament on the line here too, but the hatred ended up overtaking it, Charlie. And this is what wrestling storytelling can be.
Yeah.
Because you can take what feels like, you know, in story, it makes complete sense for them to actually give a shit because they're so close to potentially winning. But because Clark is such a diabolical asshole, he doesn't care and he'll make it personal before they even get to the match. And so that fires up Akira. He's already on fucking edge before he ever gets here. And then he gets busted open. It triggers a response in his brain and he decides to kill the guy, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's unbelievable, you know? I mean, we have Red Shoes getting shoved on to Wheels on. Insane. This is insane. I gave this a 3.75. Like I said, I really enjoyed this one. It's insane. Yeah. Absolute craziness. Because you know what's funny, too? For both of these guys, I kept saying, like, what the fuck are they doing in this tournament? Why are they doing this? Why are they not? Like, I couldn't see a path for either of them. Akira had points, but I still never saw him winning the thing. Does that sound bad? I feel like it was true, you know? Like,
I mean, his block was so fucking stuffed.
Yeah, it just felt like it was going to be tough for him to find his way out, you know? Like, maybe. Yeah. I could see him being the one that wins the war of attrition, but, like, I don't know. So, I appreciate that, and hopefully they do something with this going forward. I would have to think they're going to, right? You know? Because if they don't, then we just literally torpedo both of their tournaments just for no reason. Quite literally. You know? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think it will be, you know, but you never know. Wrestling is weird, you know, so.
That it is. Okay. And I had the final B block match of the night here where we had Despy defeating Kevin Knight with a pinche loco. Despy's work in this was really good. He worked over Kevin's leg and grounds the jet for pretty much most of the match. They have pretty different styles. I thought they meshed perfectly. Knight went into the match already mathematically eliminated due to tiebreaker rules. So, yeah, I gave it a 3.5. 7 out of 10 is kind of the way I was looking at it. Just right down the middle. Good stuff. Well, I guess not down the middle, above the middle. But, yeah, again, Despy gets the most time every night. How are you going to take advantage of that time? So, yeah, solid stuff. Good win out of Despy here. I definitely thought Despy was going to the finals after this.
Yeah, I actually was really surprised he didn't end up being able to defend his spot. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I actually gave this a 4. I really liked this one. I thought it had some really good momentum throughout it. You know, you know, Kevin's been so in his bag lately, and I feel like this was one of the few matches in this tournament where he got to show that off a little bit. Still got the moon shoes. He's viciously attacking the leg on the outside that is Despy, you know. I guess it's a smart strat, but, like, I don't know. Kevin's still got moon shoes regardless, so, you know. It's just not his year. He ate a couple Pinche Locos, you know.
Yeah.
Put out the pasture, GG's. Earned his respect, you know.
Yeah. Main event of the night was Block A. We had Master Wado and Hiromu Takahashi.
Yep.
So Wado was the only person that came into the show with 10 points.
Yes.
The crowd was in the palm of Hiromu's hand. Wado played the Dominator. As he was the leader of the block, and Hiromu was fighting to survive in the tournament. It was a really good submission spot that I thought was perfectly executed. However, Wado was defeated by Takahashi. Several versions of the time bomb to just basically get it applied, and eventually got it in, and the time bomb clocked out Wado for the 1, 2, 3. I thought they brought some good intensity to this match. It was pretty entertaining. You know, here's the thing. Wado, there was a moment in this he made me believe he could win. So for that, he gets a +1. So I thought Wado's had a really weak tournament, in my opinion. And this is coming from the guy that had the best tournament last year. Well, 2 years ago. So it's, while there's been some insane highs, and most wrestlers I think have had a really good tournament, there's a couple guys that we can point to and been like, Jesus, where the fuck did it go? And, you know, we talk about Fujita bringing it every night. That's what Wado doesn't do. Wado doesn't bring it every night. He did bring it in the main event, but ultimately fell short. I gave it a 3.5.
Yeah, our rating is pretty far apart on this one. I give this a 5 because I fucking dug this match like crazy because I was like, fuck, Hiromu can't lose this because we got to have Hiromu be in fucking some kind of contention at the end. He can't just not be, he can't just be fucked, you know, like that's, we have to have Hiromu at least be like a threat to other people's tournament at the very minimum, you know, like, so like I was walking into this fully expecting, but it's also you're facing main event Wanto in that. So I think I just kind of bought into this one. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it was like, I think I locked into a lot of the main events. And I think this was one where I was like, okay, let's fucking go. You know, we just had that match with Kevin Knight. Now what the fuck are we going to do here? You know? So I was just vibing. So I just think Wato is one of my favorites to watch. I feel like he always delivers in the main event, you know, like you said. And I feel
usually does. Yeah.
I feel like he's got a different style and ring than a lot of other people in the junior division have. You know, maybe that's just my perception of it, but that's what I think.
He's like Kevin. He's so tall.
Yes. And I also think that he's got like a unique fighting spirit that's different than other wrestlers too. But it's interesting. He stands out among a company of people that's entirely what New Japan is built on, is that kind of idea, you know? And like, I think that he shines as an example of that within there. And I thought this was an absolute banger. I don't even really know what to say. I really enjoyed this one. I probably should have wrote down more considering how much I liked it, but I just really fucking loved this one. I don't know. It was a really good main event to me. Yeah.
Yeah, Hiromu just kicking ass.
100%. I didn't expect him to win either. I was like, oh, he's fucked.
Yep, and he's now cooked. We're on to night 11.
Yep, which is a Block A only night, and we'll only be doing these 5 matches from Block A, so lock in. This is the last of Block A. Ninja Mac took on Dragon Daya. We had some Code of Honor here, Charlie. Fucking Ring of Honor guys, question mark? Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Ninja Mac has appeared in Ring of Honor, so, you know. There's some good lucha shit, you know. Flips are beautifully... We got some flips from Ninja Mac being beautifully executed. Both of them trying to end this tournament on a good note. There's a reference to Cerulean Blue made during this match. So, shout out Cerulean. So I did not know this, and I guess this is cool. So I guess that I didn't know this, Charlie. Dragon Daya's learning tree in wrestling, at least in kayfabe, is that, you know, Dragon Kid, who was trained by Ultimo Dragon, trained Dragon Daya, from what I understand. So that's a legacy there. So it's not just that he's just a random Japanese mass wrestler. He is actually a part of this, like, mass wrestler legacy It seems like, anyway. So his name isn't even, you know, that name is like a almost an honorific in a way. You know what I mean? Like, for people that know what that means. So yeah, good stuff there. I thought they did some really good trading back and forth of the pin combos, if you will. And there was a 540 that was an anti-air kick to, like, yeah, anti-air kick to, like, yeah, I think that's what they called it, a 540 kick. And it was like an anti-air 540 kick that ended the match. I believe Dragon Die got caught in a midair, I believe, by Mac, right? If I remember correctly. Or is it the other way around? Might have been the other way around. I actually don't have it written down for some reason. Weird. I guess I thought it would stand out more in my mind, but it didn't. Stood out enough that I wrote it down. It doesn't really matter, though, if we're being honest. Both were eliminated, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, exactly.
It was a good match either way. What did you think of this one, Charlie? I gave it a 3.75.
Yeah, pretty solid. I gave it a 3. Just they brought a good pace, some good chemistry together. You know, I just thought it was nothing out of the ordinary. Again, Dragon Daya. I was very surprised he lost this, actually. If we're being honest, if there was something I was surprised about, I was a little surprised he lost this because I was like, he is still kind of in a spot, maybe. No. But the odds weren't in his favor, so. But, you know, now that it's their final match, you can talk about the tournament as a whole, and I thought they both had a pretty solid tournament. Dragon, I just think, got off to a really slow start, whereas Ninja got off to the best start possible. So,
yeah, literally.
Complete opposites for both of them. Perfectly fine match, which is why it gets the 3 out of 5.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Yeah, so Francesco Akira took on Kushida. Interesting note here. Both of them apparently got trained by Tajiri. Interesting. That's so there's cool. Some history there. They started fast and aggressive with this one. This is when I was texting you. In my notes, I wrote, I think I'm a Kushida person now. so, yeah. The guy's beer birth in this tournament has been just magnificent to watch, honestly.
I mean, to this point, until the final match, he's had my favorite match. So, him and Fujita.
I think, absolutely. Yeah. And Akira seems to be, like, evolving as an overall presentation as well, which I think is cool. Like, they had some great strike exchanges on the knees. Super kicked him right on the fucking button. And the hoverboard lock got reversed into a ground tarantula, earns the respect of Kushida by picking up the win against him. Fantastic finish to this match, dude. I love this. I gave this a 4 out of 5. I thought this was a great fucking match. What a great way to fucking end it for Akira after the story they gave him in this tournament too, you know, like,
yeah, Akira tournament, the story, everything's been intense. He looked good all tournament. Kushida, like you said, complete, just, and great stuff out of him. Different matches all day. Yeah. Again, between these two, there wasn't an insane amount of drama between them, but there wasn't any need for it. Short match, intense, and I love that they just tried to fucking constantly out-submit each other. I thought that added a fun element. Gave it a 3.75.
100%. All right. I'm actually pulling it up, because apparently I didn't write down some of these results, so I'm just pulling up 9.11. Just so I can get so I can quickly look over. Wow, my phone is being really ridiculous right now. You know how, you know, when you search like best of the Super Juniors, it'll usually come up after you say best of the S or something like that. Like,
yeah.
It didn't even give me that. It was like, nope, you're typing it all.
Said, nope, not today.
All right.
Not today.
Okay, I should not have clicked that link. That's going to take 10 years to load. Okay.
Well, I have them if it's just. Like, if you just, is it just the next one? Because the other two are pretty obvious. Because it was kind of Maro beating Wado.
I thought that's what happened, but I didn't actually write it down.
Yeah,
I didn't
else write Wado would have been in the final.
I wrote down whiskey bottles used and they try to kill Wado. So I wasn't sure if he lost the match or won the match in that time. Because either way, the way I wrote that, it could have been, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't specify who lost or won. That's the only reason why I didn't have it. So, but yeah, attack the leg. Yeah. That was, you know. Interesting position to be in with both guys eliminated. I mean, whatever. Ref had to force a break at one point. His leg gave out on him. Yo ran off the bad guys, you know.
I just started writing in H.O.T. shit. House of Torture shit. Also as known as hot shit. Good leg works, but that's about it. Give it a fuck. Kind of brutal, actually. I gave it a 2. I don't think it's a 2, but...
2.75, maybe. I don't know. I didn't even write down a rating. That's how much I cared about this match.
Yeah. Again, yeah. Wado, to me, is the most disappointing wrestler of the tournament. Because he won the last one we covered. And I don't think he had a single match get there. And it's so upsetting.
Yeah, I think you're right. Obviously, I give higher ratings than that than you, but yeah, I can see what you mean from your perspective. Yeah. Kosei Fujita took on Clark Connors here. Bro loves this fucking wheel, bro. He loves Wheel-san. You know, I gotta respect it. I wrote in my notes, Charlie, hoping this isn't a crash and burn. And I'm sure you know exactly what I mean by that.
Oh,
I was really hoping Kosei didn't fucking lose this match here. As much as I love Clark, this was not the time to have him be beating him, you know? All right, so let's get into this a little bit. Bro dropped a tire on him from the apron, Charlie.
It's pretty insane.
That's a spot in a wrestling match, in a tournament. Anyway, he was targeting his back the whole time. Dropped to a hold, got jumped into a crossface. I loved that transition from Kosei. Both got very worn down from their injuries, quote-unquote, throughout the tournament. Kosei was fighting what I thought through had to be some insane pain after that. There's no way you faked that tire drop. That fucked him up. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that didn't do something to him. You know, like, so he's wrestling this match injured. I'm sorry. Even if it's not an actual injury, your back
13 minute match, 10 of it had to be selling.
Yes. Oh, dude, like, that was, yeah. So, I like all these like, little personal bits that we get in these matches like that, too. Like, adds so much more of a different dimension to a tournament like this. There was a gore hit at one point, but right before the gore, he hit an E-Rog, which was a gore from the back, I guess, you know? Like, a reverse gore is now an E-Rog, I guess.
It's actually fucking brilliant.
Yes. That's from Walker, I'm pretty sure. I think that said that, or somebody, whoever was on commentary.
This tournament's confirmed what I've already fucking kind of been hoping. Walker actually is the dude.
Man, Walker's solo good. Nights were actually, no offense to Charlton.
He's really good.
He ate Charlton's lunch this tournament on solo nights, yeah. Dude. Like, no,
Kevin Kelly did a great job picking his fucking heir apparent. He knew what he was doing.
100%. Yeah,
he had to get someone that wasn't just a run-of-the-mill fucking bloke either. They had to have some personality and some grizz to him. And I think Walker brings his own flair to it in his own way. It's not just generic rubbish fucking commentary, you know?
Yeah. I also love this move that he's submitting people with. It's like an arm trap, leg trap, cross face thing. It's an insane move. I give this 3.75. I thought this was an awesome match. Clark losing is what needed to happen here, you know?
Yeah. It was fucking hilarious how much they were selling. Definite injuries afoot. But yeah, I'm with you. I gave it a 3.75 too.
All right. And what sets up probably some more really intriguing stuff going on forward now on New Japan, now that we know the full breadth of what's going to go on here. Hiromu Takahashi took on Robbie X. It was at this point that Walker informed us, Charlie, that if Kosei Fujita wanted to advance in the tournament, Robbie X would have to defeat Hiromu Takahashi. If that doesn't happen, Kosei's done. So, lot of flavor there, you know? So, Hiromu Takahashi's become Robbie X. And
at this point, did you feel like Hiromu fucking even deserved to win?
No.
There's been so many great stories in this. And I was just like, are we really just going to run Hiromu Despy? That was a genuine fear. I was like, Hiromu hasn't, he's been Hiromu, yes, right? But I was like, really? He hasn't had any of the fun fucking big stuff. Are we just going to really do this thing again? Luckily, it was not the case.
100%. Yeah, so it's interesting to think that I think walking into this match, I didn't realize this, Charlie. I think that other than that leg thing that I mentioned earlier, so this is interesting that I did not know this. This is fascinating. My notes are communicating to each other, Charlie. Do you remember how I mentioned the thing about the leg earlier?
Yeah.
I specifically brought up that I think he's wrestled the cleanest match in terms of injuries, right? So, or clean his tournament. Meaning, and what I'm saying is, I don't think anyone really got him with injuries. He got out of his wall, all of his losses quick enough to not sustain anything major. So what that tells me is they forgot. Or they never planned on doing it. Because remember, I noted, I wonder if they'll come back later. This is only, what, a match? Two matches later?
It's the next, it's the next night.
Yeah. They should still be selling that leg. Sorry. Just throwing that out there, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he was, and I just didn't note it down. It's possible, you know? But, yeah, just thought that was an interesting note. So I asked about it earlier, and you know what? There we go. Yeah, so, and I literally wrote in my notes, it could be just misremembering. I was misremembering. That wasn't supposed to be what was supposed to be. But anyway, yeah, bro's got the leg treatments. He knows. He went and did those. What did they always do in the back? The John Moxley comes back with, like, cupping marks on his back or whatever, you know? Like, ugh. Yeah. Anyway, But yeah, so this is just, you know, I mean, we had some chairs being used, you know, not like as weapons, but like, you know, as like, you know, like throwing them into him. Hiromu was looking to punch his ticket here. Robbie's just wanting to stick it to management at this point for not wanting to believe in him to begin with, you know? I love that they both have a reason to want to win this match. Great selling throughout. Hiromu got some diabolical counters off. We had some finger manipulation and finger getting bitten. He hits an exclamation on him, NX Express forces, I think it's like, what, like a five-way tie or something like that, that it forces when he does this or something like that, like something crazy like that, you know, which then allows our boy Kosei Fuji to be the Block A finalist. So I give this a 4.5 out of 5. What did you think of this match, Charlie? And then I'll talk about the post-match, which is one of the most intriguing things coming out of this tournament to me.
The pace that Robbie was wrestling at in this match awesome. This guy is Taylor fucking tuned for New Japan Pro Wrestling. To wrestle at this pace in the main event after a tournament that he's not been picking up that many wins. He said he went into this with 6 points. So he tied for last place at 8, you know? So he wasn't the top guy at all this tournament. And yeah, I just thought he brought some really good energy here. Hiromu was just being the guy that would never die, and he finally took the L. So Hiromu did his thing putting over the new guys, which was important. I give it a 4.25.
Yeah, I thought this one really got there as well. And that takes us to the end of a night 11, Charlie. That was our main event. That was it. That's the it for Block A. Take us to the Block B finale.
All right. So, night 12 here. We have Kevin Knight versus Reisuke Taguchi. Fucking, what great comedy chops out of Kevin. What the fuck? He always gets surprised.
Oh, when he hit the fucking ropes, like, infinitely, I was popping like crazy.
It was so good. Oh, I put fun rope running and funky weapon spots. Funky weapon at Kevin dangling from the rope.
Started doing a calisthenics routine. Yep. Basically, you know, like
quick UFO splash and Kevin Knight wins.
Good stuff.
Sets up a solid tournament for him overall. Again, opener match Taguchi still did his thing. I gave it a 3.5. Fun comedy.
Yeah, the buns of steel got brought out, bro.
Yeah. Would you give this one?
I gave it a 3.
Yeah. Solid stuff. Titan versus Nick Wayne. Unbelievable chemistry together. Their energy was just fucking vibing off the screen. Fast paced, beautiful back and forths. There was a Muda lock that Titan did for the finish. Great way for them both to end their tournament. Give it a 3.75. Titan defeated Nick Wayne, of course, in this. And so Nick Wayne lost like his last 3 or 4 matches in a row. So he really did crumble. But good tournament out of Nick. Solid out of Titan. Yeah, what'd you think of this one?
I really actually liked this one a lot. It ended up getting a 4.75 for me, and I'll tell you why, because there was a couple of things that really jumped this up for me when I realized the stakes that were going on here. First of all, the freaking thing I thought was incredibly impressive about Nick's tournament run overall throughout this was that they matched him up about every different type of style you can wrestle in this tournament pretty much. And he delivered in all of those matches, and he matched the style of the person he was wrestling. He never felt like he didn't match the energy, the pace, and the timing of what he was doing. So that's pretty incredible. But I thought this was pretty insane. They had some really picture-perfect timing, and they sold like crazy for everything that the other person did. Nick tapping here to the Jave Immortal is not super, I wasn't really hoping for that. But what I think they noted on commentary was that based on that, does this mean he's going to show up in AEW now, getting a shot at that title of Nick's? That, especially good, because Nick doesn't go on to win this tournament, really seems likely that it's going to happen because there's already connections between them and AEW anyway. So why not? And I feel like it surprises me that Teton hasn't shown up on AEW more because of that, to be honest with you. So maybe that's the avenue for getting him there. So I don't know why. I must have just been really feeling this match, but yeah, I give it a really high rating. So yeah.
Yeah, it was really solid. And then the next match, it happened. Mao defeats Sho. Mao goes up to 12 points. And oh my god, Mao got a good match out of Sho. It happened. It actually happened. Sho said, fuck it, I'm gonna give you one. Mao just adds so much fun comedy to the match. This car spot was perfect. Everything this again is proof that the House of Torture stuff can be this much fun. Look, you got fucking ran over with a car, dude. Like, straight up, that's as good as it gets. Mao tried to end the House of Torture. Just a lot of fun DDT style match. I really did enjoy this one. And
how excited are you going to be every time you see Mao on a New Japan card going forward now? You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, dude.
Because it could be this, or it could be eight of the other types of matches we saw him have in this tournament. Or it could be a tag match with his partner, who I really actually want to see wrestle now. Not just because he was involved, but I just want to see what Strange Love Connection is, because it's got to be something insane, right? Like,
yeah, so I gave it the same rating as the other comedy match in the night, 3-5. Just a lot of fun. Great, good job for you, Sho. I was waiting for this. And he actually, good stuff. What'd you have for this one?
I give it a 3, but I might give it like a 3-2-5 if I really thought about it, like.
Yeah, really good stuff here. Next match we had El Desperado versus Robbie Eagles.
Robbie.
Technical, entertaining, really good stuff between the two of them. Definitely one of the best matches this tournament, for sure. You could feel the passion for wanting to get to the end point, to wanting to achieve greatness. Even though Robbie was mathematically eliminated, getting out there with the champion still meant everything. High speed. I really like this, and just a really fun match in general. I gave this one a 4-2-5, one of the best matches of the tournament. So undoubtedly. Robbie's had a really great tournament, and so has Despy, of course. Two of the best juniors in the world doing their damn thing. And again, great counters. Robbie was able to play up being the sympathetic babyface. And yeah, signature submissions. The Ron Miller special versus the numero dos, So yeah. I think This tournament has showed us the best matches have been the technical wrestling matches. And I believe this firmly is planted as the, for me, the number 3 best match. So I was really, really happy with this 4-2-5 incredible match. What'd you have for this one?
Yeah, I gave this a 4.25. I really liked this. I thought that. The first thing I noted down in this was I actually love how lethal the numero dos feels. As soon as he got locked into that, I'm like, oh, he's going to have trouble. He's not going to be able to fly for the rest of this match, probably. Because that move, when it gets locked on you for just a couple minutes, it seems like it really hurts. So, but yeah, the Ron Miller special, though, there was a point I was like, oh, man, this might actually be enough to counter this. The near tap that he sold, or whatever you want to say, I actually bit on that a little bit. I thought he was going to tap him in a few minutes and it was going to be crazy, but that didn't have it. So, we ended up getting a better match out of him. Yeah. He pulled off the bandana. I think it really picked up after that point. Robbie was kicking like crazy. And I liked that neither of them, they were hitting these big shots, but neither could capitalize because of the previous damage from the submissions that they'd taken. That's just good psychology right there, you know? Like,
very good psychology between them. Yep.
Yeah, and Robbie got tied in knots, and eventually he did not end up being able to pull that one out, you know?
And again, really good for these guys, even though they weren't in the finals, to go out there and have one of the best matches of the tournament. Just, you know, it matters. And I think this is the kind of match that when people are looking for stuff in New Japan, this is the kind of shit they're seeking out. This is so good. Let's get to our main event, though.
Yes.
Not as good, but good. Taijushi Mourinho. Solid. Solid. They got time, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got some time to work together.
Some turnbuckleage.
Unfortunately for these guys, the match before it was fucking incredible. And I don't know if that played into their psyche. No idea. Shit happens, right? This definitely shouldn't have main evented, considering, you know, that plays into our talk that we had. I don't know if this was on the podcast or before the podcast, where we said Robbie didn't main event. And that shit matters. Robbie should have 100% main evented this show. Ishimori being the powerhouse here. Yo, again, felt a little bit like Orange Cassidy again here, right? The Bone Lock, Anaconda Vice, some really fun transitions, just solid stuff together. I gave this the weakest score of all of them tonight. I gave it a 3.25. But again, if that's your weakest score, I think it's a good night of wrestling. And I think all five of these matches were enjoyable. So, yeah. Yo, of course, winning and going to the final. So, which was nice, because I was rooting for him at this point, too. I was like, I love Despy, but I don't need Despy or Takahashi in the fucking final. I don't need it. So, yeah. What'd you have for this one?
I gave it a 3.5. I thought it did what it needed to do, and it didn't overstay its welcome. And yo, you know what they did in this match? They both showed off all the styles they can wrestle really well, which a lot of people did throughout this tournament. But this was like maybe the last, you know, opportunity to do that if you're not going to be in the finals. And I thought they did a really good job of showing off just how. And we give Ishimori shit for not being quite the same anymore. And obviously, he was a goddamn absolute maniac at one point. But you know, like, yeah. So he can't really be that anymore. But I still think when he really, really wants to, he gets there, you know? So, like, and I think this was another example. It wasn't like
the Nick Wayne match.
Yes, no, absolutely. No, he can get there. And it's just, you know,
the Taguchi match.
Yes, no, 100%. It's like, it doesn't need to be a bone lock for 10 minutes. And it usually isn't, but, like, even when it is, it can still be good. It's all about how this just wasn't the tournament that they needed him to be like that in. He needed to win where he needed to win, and he needed to lose in spots like this, you know? So, like, or maybe not like this, but, you know, like, yeah, anyway, sorry, I just got a like on a tweet that I put out that said whoever let them ban Thaputu us out of more acolyte, he said something or other. I forget what I actually tweeted, but
so that puts us to the final. We had Kosei Fujita versus Yo. You have your 22-year-old young pup. He did his excursion
young punk
in the company. You have someone who's old enough to be his dad at 36 years old, Yo, who's had an unbelievable story that's been developing through and through this tournament. You've had the kid with the best tournament run versus someone who's just fighting to show that they still belong and that they always have belonged. And it was a really, really good setup. And ultimately, this match does deliver. It does get there. It hits that point. They get the big old 5 out of 5 for me. I think Kosei Fujita and Yo both went out there and had the best singles match of their careers. This was a great moment for Fujita. This was a changing of the guard, if you will. And it's going to change even more in a couple weeks when he beats fucking Despy at Dominion. Which, son of a bitch, we might have to just lock Dominion in. That one might be one we have to do in. Now.
We have to at least watch that match, if not the whole show. There's going to be other show on there we want to see. There'll probably be some, I mean, shit.
We'll talk about, you know what, we'll live react to the card at the end. So yes, I'm sure most of it's out there, but just real quick, before we dive too into, what'd you give the match? And just what are some of your quick thoughts on their tournament runs?
I mean, this is a 5 out of 5. I mean,
this is a 5. We were asking, is a match going to get there?
It's got there, yes. 100%.
It got there.
Yeah, I think this match is going to be like a historic match in the history of New Japan. I think you're going to look back on this match and be like, oh, that's when Kosei Fujita became a fucking star. And let me talk about what happened throughout this match. So at the beginning of this match, we had Yo, and he was beyond over with the crowd. They were fucking, they were ride or die for Yo.
Shout out the crowd.
Yes. They were ride or fucking die for Yo at the beginning of this match. And by the end, Charlie, I don't know what they're going to do. This guy's a babyface now, Charlie. Kosei Fujita's their fucking guy now. There's no fucking way. By the end of it, it wasn't that they were booing Yo.
Well, that's okay, because Despy's the heel.
That's true. That's fair. It'll work for that. So, you know, maybe we just need to turn him a little bit like that. And I don't think it's going to change his group necessarily. But I think, you know, he could be a shining beacon within another dark group or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just for the run up to the title and then he turns on everybody again, because you could easily do that in Japan, right? You know, and be like, nah, I've never needed fucking any of you, you know, like, I can't remember who did that, but that was one of the funniest ones ever. It's like they went, like they were the big most over there. What's his name? It was, Jesus, Gabe Kidd, right? Did it, right? I'm pretty sure, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, more or less. So, yeah, anyway. The point is, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It is what it is. But for right now, this guy is fucking over as a babyface because, all right, Fujita was doing his normal stuff. You had Yo starts off hyping up the crowd with some arm breakers. Fujita does a dive to the outside that looked great. There's this neat little, like, bridge block. He blocked this bridge on a pin. And locked in a submission, Fujita did. And I thought that was a great spot because, like, how many times have you seen a wrestling move where it's just like, oh, and he goes to the bridge, and then every time they have to do the one, two, you know? Nope, not this time. Fujita's seen that too many times. He's like, fuck you. You're not doing that to me. All right. Then the crowd starts going nuts at this point because he stays on him and starts tying him in more submissions. He does a Zack Sabre Jr. style arm lock while he's got the leg lock turned back around, and he's also, you know, like, jamming his knee into his back and other, like, it's very Zack Sabre Jr.-esque, you know? And they were both kind of like pulling out the offense of the people that they look up to, because you had Okada and Ishii's offense being attempted by Yo. He doesn't land most of it, but he does try it, and he does his own version of, like, the sort of chop hit in the corner, you know, like, great stuff. Oh my god. They did this great superplex spot that was sold like crazy by fucking Fujita. Then there was this counter timing on the cutter that was insane, you know? I mean, this is the point where we're like, this is hitting stupid levels at this point. It's gone insane.
It did hit stupid levels. And yes. I think that's something that we're always searching for in wrestling. You can never get enough of it. You're always 100%. Chasing that high.
Yes. The last time I can think of that was, this is going to sound crazy. The last time I can think of stupid levels was with one of Will's matches in the middle of last year, or was Will versus Oku. Will versus Oku kind of hit those stupid levels too. You know, like, oh, maybe Will's whole fucking
run. We cover AEW, so we're unbelievably blessed. That happens way too much, but
it's true. Yeah.
You know, it's true. There's other people that can't say that, but unfortunately for us, it does. It could happen way too much.
How about the ripcord knee that fucking Yo hit? Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, even, dude, we just had Hangman versus Will, and it's just like, you know.
Yeah, I know, right? It's
just like, sometimes it can get stupid really fast.
Real fast, you know?
Hey, we didn't have to watch 18 hours of fucking commercials, so.
We did? Jesus.
No, we didn't with the fucking, just shit-talking that Saturday Night Main Event show. Apparently it was like nothing but commercials.
Saturday. Sorry.
Anyways, yeah, they hit that point, dude.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I just can't believe that Kosei was able to fucking win this tournament. It's unbelievable. When it first, like, you know, like, Wato was one last year, but there was also in that tournament, I can't remember who it was. There was someone younger than Wato in that tournament, I'm pretty sure. And we were like, oh, is it going to be his time?
BOSJ 30, right? Yeah, that was the one we covered.
Yes. And I
this was 32. Remember.
It might have been,
because last year was just the Despy win.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I don't remember who all was in it. It was somebody that we wanted, that we were really like. Oh, you know what it might have been?
Might have just been Drilla.
Yeah, it might have been Drilla. Yeah,
yeah. Teton was like
Drilla. It might have been Teton actually. That I think about, because it definitely was Teton and Mato that we were big on.
Yeah, Drilla was 28 or 26 at the time.
So, like, you know, I was hoping so desperately.
The Doki Choki.
Yeah, I was hoping so desperately it would be one of the younger guys or Teton or whatever, you know, but like. It didn't end up going that way. It was Wato's year. Wato, who had been established for a little while, and, you know, you had identified him as probably maybe his year because he would look really good, but you just didn't know. But with this tournament, I was like, on paper, Kosei winning this sounds like impossible because of how new he is, you know?
They don't embrace the youth movement. They haven't done it yet.
So But we know how good he is because we watched him. So, but it's just like, you know, we don't, you know, we don't expect them to put this guy over. So the fact that they're doing it, they have to be fully sending this. And yes. I will say the same thing I said about Clark and Akira. If he loses, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
He has to beat Despy.
So I just want to throw that out there. If he has can to. Pull some bullshit,
he has to.
Then I'm out, you know? Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely has to win.
The first, dude, even beyond the end of the match, the first two-thirds of this were, like, unbelievably great. They were unbelievably great, right? And then it turned into that epic. So you can't shout that out enough. Like, it was fucking nearly flawless. Like, this is a legit five-star fucking banger. So I'm so glad they gave him time. I am fucking happy to know Fujidakin has this in him. 22 years old. Get the fuck out of here. You young punk.
Young punk.
Let's talk about Dominion real quick.
Yeah, what's that card?
So obviously, we have Fujidakin vs. Despy for the junior heavyweight title. Tanahashi. Hello. So we have a singles match. Tanahashi versus Yuya Uemura.
Cool. I mean, that could be good, yeah.
Dog collar death match.
Huh?
Evil versus David Finlay.
All right, man, we'll have to watch that. I mean, fuck.
Never open weight title match. Champion Kinosuke Takeshita versus Bolton Oleg.
I mean, that should be insane.
Or Oleg Bolton, my bad. IWGP Tag Team Title Championship. Champions United Empire, which is Callum Newman and Great O'Conn versus Taichi and Tomohiro Ishii.
I mean, yeah.
What a tag team. IWGP Global Heavyweight Title Match. Champion Yota Tsuji versus Gabe Kidd.
Hello?
An IWGP World Heavyweight Title Match. Champion Hiroki Goto versus Shingo Takagi.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good card to me.
Looks like a pretty damn good card. Agreed. So, yeah. Other than that, we'll see if you guys are just here for our daily shows. We got Eat Sleep Leak kicking back up this week. We just wanted to get in and cover this and give our... We had a full month of New Japan coverage, Duke. I mean, it's been fun. This has been a blast.
I say we do this twice a year for this in the G1. I would be totally down. Yeah. So, you know.
It would be fun to do a full G1. I don't think I've ever fully locked into a G1.
I don't know how. We would have to probably, like, okay. Is there, like...
You have to start night one. Can't miss a night.
Well, of course. But... Because we did for the we really wanted to get away with it.
We started behind on this.
Yeah, because of the break nights. There's no break nights in the G1 though, so you're cooked, you know? So at least there's not that I can remember, right?
It's like maybe one day in here and there. That's
it. Yeah, so we would have barely any time to catch up, so we'd have to keep up with it. That being said though, if we do try and do that, we're gonna maybe have to I don't think it'll be four episode blocks like it was for this, you know, it might be more.
Yeah, it'd be weeks. It'd be a week long.
It might be a
week
whole
one, week
block.
Two. Yeah.
Might be the other way it has to go because there's going to be so many matches to go through. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not going to be as in depth as this because there's so many more matches, you know? So, like.
Hey, you know, unless they tune it down.
And yeah, that could be the case.
There's some years where they're like, hey, we don't need 50 fucking people.
This is true.
You know? So, yeah, no, that tournament runs a full month. Last year, I think they did 20, so that would be okay.
Yeah, we could definitely do it. It's just we'd have to commit to it, and we have some time between now and then, so, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's not like the year before when I think they literally did, like, 30 fucking wrestlers, so. I think they brought it back down last year, and they should do the same this year, so. Yeah, this has been fun covering New Japan. We'll be back for Eat, Sleep, Elite, this, that, and the other. On that note, thank you guys for sticking along with us. If you're on Spotify or Blue Sky, you can toss us a message. What did you think of Fujita winning? Is this Fujita's best match? Is Fujita the future? Is the Ichiban sweet boy?
No.
That's
as he told
boy.
Us, he's the now, Charlie.
He's the now. And you know who else is? I can't scream it, but Wardlow!
Wardlow! Wardlow!